Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
Ron Wolfley. What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, welcome in on this Monday morning. Football is back. Hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. Wolf, was it everything you hoped for?
It was everything I hoped for and more, I would say, right there. Just a little downtime right here. I'm sure all of us right now, we feel a little rejuvenated. Now maybe you had to work over the holiday. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, be thankful that you actually had a job you had to work at. And young guns that are out there right now, lay it on the line. Show your employer you're willing to do something nobody else is willing to do. That's work on the holiday, right? So there's a silver lining, I think, for all of us.
The last time I saw you was on the only Wednesday that's a Friday.
Oh, yeah,
and this is a Monday that's
once
a Monday.
A year. That's right. It feels like a Monday right now, especially coming off
a Monday.
That awesome 4-day, whatever that was. That was pretty good, was it not, my brothers?
I tell you, Wolf, we may as well just start with football, although don't worry. We're going to talk about the Phoenix Suns, who haven't lost since before Halloween.
Unbelievable.
It's almost December.
I mean, just the, once again, for the record, the professionalism watching this team is joy.
They're just dismantling
it's
teams
joy.
Now. These games are getting more lopsided. You would think they'd start to wear down and these games would get closer. They just handled
Brooklyn. The better
Brooklyn.
You are, the more they feel threatened and the better they play.
Well, Golden State tomorrow, Golden State on Friday. This is going to be a fun week with the Suns. But we'll start in football. And this is how my football Sunday went yesterday, Wolf. I'm sure you're probably even more thrown off not having the Cardinals game than I was. But, you know, do the pre and post for the Cardinals. So yesterday I was just like, I'm going to watch a lot of football and kind of get a feel for the rest of the league.
I gutted my way through it.
Did you? You fought through it? I felt pretty good around early afternoon. Like, okay, I mean, Dallas looked miserable on Thanksgiving. The Rams are not impressive at all. Maybe I was just wrong about them. And then this story comes out that Lincoln Riley's leaving Oklahoma for USC, and just a few seconds later, Adam Schefter sends out a tweet that Cliff Kingsbury is on the list of guys they would like to replace Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma.
Wow! Yeah, you know what? That was a little shocking right there. When you think of Cliff Kingsbury and you think of this season, the way this season was beginning in training camp, of course, and how many doubters were actually out there. How many people actually put Cliff Kingsbury on the hot seat? I put him on the hot seat. We all put him on the hot seat. Cliff Kingsbury, new coming into this year, he was on the hot seat.
He should have been.
That was not a surprise.
He shouldn't. It shouldn't have. The people that thought he should have been fired after last year, you can't recycle coaches every 2 years. You can't do that. But he deserved to be scrutinized this year.
No doubt about it. This was going to be a make or break year, I think, for Cliff Kingsbury. He would have been the first one to tell you that. And to see this come about where now all of a sudden at the bye, here we are in November, and the Arizona Cardinals are 9-2, and oh, by the way, Oklahoma has a job opening, and Cliff Kingsbury's name comes up. Oh, my goodness. Things have changed, have they not?
So let's just start with this. Is there really any way he would leave an NFL head coach? Adam Schefter doesn't just make stuff up, but he also didn't say Cliff's going. He just said Oklahoma put him on a list.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anybody would be at the top of the NFL world, which is where Cliff is right now. He's got a Super Bowl contender in front of him. Whether they win the Super Bowl or go out in the first round, he has a Super Bowl contender. I would say maybe even more important if I'm Cliff Kingsbury and I'm talking about my long-term future in the NFL, I've got my franchise quarterback in place in Kyler Murray. So it's not even like, hey, what if this year is my only good year and we start to turn the other way? No, I've got Kyler Murray. I'm not leaving an NFL job where I'm just getting going for a college job. I don't think any college job, honestly. Maybe Alabama, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe Alabama, I don't know. But to your point right now, Oklahoma going to the SEC. Yeah, that's what I want right now. Yeah. Oklahoma has taken a step back, and we're going to the SEC.
Yeah.
Let me jump on board that.
Perfect timing. talk about not playing the stock market the right way.
Yeah, for the most part, Cliff Kingsbury has made it pretty clear, Basinonians, that he prefers the NFL over a college job. And why wouldn't you, I ask? And typically you command more money. You don't have to recruit 17-year-old kids and kiss their butts. I'm just saying. You don't have to do that. You don't have to win over alumni and kiss their butts. I'm just saying. You don't have to do that. You don't have to coach kids. You get to coach men. Now, that doesn't mean that they make good decisions all the time, but you get to coach men instead of kids. And you get to prove to the football universe you are one of the best football coaches our species can generate.
Look,
there is that lure.
Yeah, I mean it's the top of the football mountain. I don't know how else to put it. I understand there are people out there that like college more than the NFL. I get that. Maybe if ASU was a perennial playoff contender, I would feel the same way. But I like my college more. I don't necessarily jump out there to watch some random Big 12 game the way I will watch Baltimore and Cleveland not even really play football for four quarters last night, and I'm still watching. But set that aside, I understand that there are coaches out there that would leave the NFL for the right college job. I get that. Even like Matt Rhule. I mean, if I'm Matt Rhule and I'm coaching Carolina right now and some amazing college job comes along, I might be tempted because I kind of got a team where I don't have a quarterback and I'm just sort of floundering around 500 at the bottom of my division. Maybe. I at least will grant you that line of thinking is out there, but not when I have the best team in the NFL and I just started in the NFL. And honestly, Cliff is more successful in the NFL than he was in college.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that last statement right there. But you know what? You said something earlier right here. You didn't like the Cleveland Ravens game? You didn't like the Browns Ravens? You didn't like that game? You know what? I should have known.
No,
I should have known.
That wasn't.
I should have known you did not like it because, of course, there was not the requisite amount of scoring. Now, we're going to get into this later. We are going to get into it later.
That game was just ugly.
You didn't like
I like a good low-scoring game when it's like, what a great defensive play. Okay, here's a great offensive play, but didn't result in a touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
That game last night was a
great
mess.
Great defensive play that was going on. Okay, more on this as the show unfolds, okay? But that's so typical of you. I think the better question...
So typical of you to like that game. we should be pointing
to. It was ugly. It was a little dirty right there. Give me a punt. Oh, what a punt. Don't get me sidetracked. You know what? Honestly, I don't think there's any chance that Cliff Kingsbury would take this job. That's just me. I don't know. I'm looking from the outside. I'm looking in. I'm sure, I guarantee you, there's some Oklahoma alumni now that they own some oil wells. I guarantee you they've been selling some stuff over years, and that boy right there going to pay somebody. You know, I'm sure there would be an awful lot of money that would be involved. Yet, I don't think Cliff is cut out to be that guy. I don't, because you need to be a disciplinarian. You have to be a disciplinarian at the college level. You're talking about kids, 17-year-old kids, 18-year-old kids that you've got to be able to manage and coach. You have to set up the law. You have to. Cliff really is not that kind of guy, ladies and gentlemen. He's not. He's moved when it comes to football. There's no doubt about it. He's convicted when it comes to the game schematically. And some of the philosophies behind that, of course, he's hyper convicted on that. But one of the reasons why I believe Steve Keim went out and brought in all the leadership that he did is you're going to create your own leadership. You're going to create your own culture is what you're going to do with a lot of these guys inside that locker room. And that is the best way you can do it.
The other thing, too, and maybe this is just me, but it's not like Cliff has been in the NFL for 8 years and he's won a Super Bowl and he's gotten to a second one or something. You know what I mean? Like, he's just starting out. He hasn't, as good as this season has been, he hasn't accomplished anything yet. So, I mean, is the thought nationally that he's just going to up and leave in the middle of this football season when he might win a Super Bowl or even at the end of the season and then go to Oklahoma and, you know, what, the Cardinals finished 13-4 and they made it to the second round of the playoffs? Like, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury in that situation, I haven't even accomplished what I set out to do in the NFL yet. Now I'm jumping back to college where I don't have a winning record. And like you said, Oklahoma is not kings of the Big 12 anymore. They're going to the SEC where they're not going to be kings.
Yeah, I think, boy, so much more on this, Basinonians. Why would Cliff Kingsbury take this job? The better question is, can Cliff actually use this job to get an extension?
That's
but
different.
Ultimately, can I tell you I'm happy for Cliff, period.
Coming up, the Suns have won 16 games in a row and counting, including a signature win over the Nets on the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday, and now they've got Golden State coming up tomorrow. We'll get into all that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dusty work boots, shiny leather loafers. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, the stretch of 15 games in 26 days for the Phoenix Suns is officially over, Wolf. And I would say I give them a solid A for how they handled it, winning all 15 games.
Not an A+. Not good enough right there.
A plus.
A plus.
How do you go through a stretch like that and win 15 games, with the 15th one being against Brooklyn in Brooklyn?
You know what? The realization right now of playing that back end of the back-to-back in Brooklyn, this team is so good. I mean, do you have any idea how hard it is to actually accomplish what the Phoenix Suns have accomplished? They just beat the best team in the Eastern Conference on the back end of a back-to-back to win their 16th game in a row. Now, listen, Basinonians, no Kyrie, we all know that, but that's not the Suns' problem.
And that's not changing.
Exactly. You can only play who you can play. This team basically right now is flexing in front of the entire association. Just stood up and did a double crab in front of everybody.
They were up 18 going into the fourth quarter.
You've got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. What they're accomplishing right now, how well they're playing. And, man, once again, stand and applaud the defense that we're seeing and have seen throughout this four-game road trip in particular.
I don't know that you could handle the following season after getting to the championship and not winning any better than the Suns. And I know it's early-ish. I mean, we're a quarter of the way through the season now. They seriously have not lost a basketball game since before Halloween, and we're past Thanksgiving. And it was essentially a condensed schedule for them. I mean, what you just said, the second half of a back-to-back. Like, there's all these layers to it. Okay, you beat Brooklyn. That's impressive.
That's pretty good.
You beat Brooklyn in Brooklyn.
I see.
Okay. Oh, it was the second half of a back-to-back.
What?
It was your 15th game in 26 nights.
Okay, stop it now.
You were on a 15-game winning streak coming into the game.
You're just piling on.
Yeah, Devin Booker has 30-plus points in his last three games, shooting well over 50% in those three games. This is as good as it gets in the regular season.
It really is. You know what, honestly, I'm glad you said that. As good as it gets in the regular season. The professionalism, once again, as a former professional athlete, based in Orleans, and I use athlete loosely, as a professional wedge buster, let's put it that way, I was willing to take my spot above my eyebrows and stick it on your spot right below your lips. And I did it very, very well. Thank you very much. But as a guy that used to get paid for doing that, the professionalism, again, what I'm seeing from this team going out and just playing up to their standard and playing an opponent as well. The last couple of games in New York, back-to-back, and Devin Booker looked like, once again, he was leading the charge in terms of standing up and flexing in front of the association.
The way that streak, it's still going, so I don't want to say it ended, but the way that we have gotten to where we are now, you know, at the beginning, I keep going back to that five-game homestand. They lost on the buzzer beater to Harrison Barnes, but we were all kind of like, okay, but this is kind of a stretch here to get going. You've got some easier games at the start. But now you look at these last, I don't know, even like the last seven games. Yeah, Dallas didn't have Luka for those games, I'll grant you that. And in Denver, I know the pushback is, well, they didn't have Michael Porter Jr. or Nikola Jokic. Well, they're not going to have Michael Porter Jr. It sounds like he's out for the year.
Yeah.
So you still, I mean, you win that game by almost 30 points against Denver, and you win a back-to-back. That's the second half. You go through that stretch with Dallas, and Denver. You win all three of those games pretty handily. These last two, yes, the Knicks are overrated perennially because they're in New York, but they were a playoff team last year, and you beat them by 21, and then to go out there the next night and be up by 18 going into the fourth quarter against Brooklyn, who, like you said, they don't have Kyrie. But they may not have Kyrie all year. They still have James Harden and Kevin Durant.
Right.
It's not like they've had Kyrie to
right.
get to this point.
Exactly.
And, yes, Brooklyn made a push in that fourth quarter, but come on.
You know what I like? What's happening right now? I don't know if you happen to notice, based on names. I'm sure you did. But Devin Booker, ladies and gentlemen, leaving his mark, marking his territory, so to speak, right? 32 on Friday against the Knicks at the Garden, then 30 on Saturday night against the Nets. He's starting to warm up a little bit here. And after, of course, the offseason he went through, the shortened offseason, the Olympics, of course, all of that, going through the finals, we all understand the offseason and the end of last season that Devin Booker has made his way through. And now all of a sudden to watch him starting to expand his game, not only on the offensive end of the floor in shooting the ball better, but defensively as well, watching him actually compete. I see a change in Devin Booker, a big change in the way that he goes about his business. And I think maybe last year and the Olympics really left a mark on him.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was talking about this with a friend of mine yesterday, and I was like, you know, we were all so caught up in how much is that playoff run last year and just the experience last season, how much is that going to change DeAndre Ayton? That's, you know, that's where the conversation goes so much. I think it changed Devin Booker, and he's just, quiet. He's averaging a steal a game right now for the first time in his career. And, you know, actual raw numbers on steals don't tell the whole story on how you're playing defense. But when we saw him immediately go from being the lead man on a team that almost won the title to like 48 hours playing on the other side of the world as a defensive player for Team USA. And now you see the way he's playing this year, and he's averaging more rebounds right now than he's ever averaged in a season, and he's averaging more steals per game, and he's still putting up the points. And you mentioned his last three games, Wolf. It's not just the points. It's, you know, 35 against Cleveland on 67% shooting,
right.
32 against the Knicks on 52%. Last night, 30 points on 50%. He's efficient, too.
Yes. Shooting the ball better, man. That is a bad, bad thing for the rest of the association right now. But again, this team is dangerous because of their defense. This team is dangerous because of what they can do on the defensive end of the floor. And that's so gritty. That is so base. It's what I love about this team. It's their beating heart, as far as I'm concerned. It's one of the pillars we all know. It's part of the culture of the Phoenix Suns, and it has been on display, especially over the last week or two. It's been on display where this is who they are. This is not lip service. They believe this stuff. Mikal Bridges, oh, Mikal, what are you doing? Just this guy, he's like a praying mantis playing basketball. I mean, what a freak show. He truly is, and I use that term affectionately, Basin audience. Mikal Bridges, what an unbelievable.
Seven steals? Come on. Who gets seven steals
in
a game?
Laugh out loud funny. There was a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, more like probably a minute and a half in this game where he just took this game over with steals and fast breaks and layups at the other end of the floor. It was incredible to watch him play.
This is Devin Booker. After the game on Saturday, they asked him what it takes to dominate on the second night of a back-to-back.
It's a team effort. You know, everybody contributed. Everybody came in, locked in on the same page, and, you know, starting on the defense end and just having good starts overall. You know, having high energy on defense leads to our offense getting out in transition and playing a fun type of basketball. So just doing everything together.
Mentioned defense twice there in 18 seconds.
Is that beautiful? That's Devin Booker.
Yeah.
That's D-Book. Oh, my goodness, man. He is growing leaps and bounds. And all we can do is that he continues to understand the knowledge and the truth of what it takes to be a champion. Not just being a one-way player, but being a two-way player the way that he is right now. It is grow strong, Grasshopper. Grow strong.
One more from Book talking about Mikal Bridges' effort.
Impressive, man. First team. That's what we're yelling out there on the sideline. That's what we're yelling as a team. He's first team all defense. And, you know, he contributes to all our wins in many ways that I always said that don't show up on the stat sheet. Six steals in the first half. Ended up having seven on the game. And obviously, James isn't an easy matchup, and he made it tough on him tonight. So, very impressed with him scoring the ball also, keeping the defense honest, and, you know, got it done for us today.
My hope when they got Mikal Bridges was always that when this team gets back to the playoffs, which at the time they hadn't been there in a while, Bridges is going to be that guy where he doesn't need the spotlight, you know, but Booker's going to get the spotlight, or Ayton, or now obviously they have Chris Paul too. But back when they drafted Mikal Bridges, we didn't know that. But Bridges is going to go out there and just, he's not even a role player because he plays like four different roles, but he's just going to do them all so well, and he doesn't care about the attention. He'll go out there and get you seven steals in one night, and he's doing it.
You know what I loved about Mikal most of all? The circumference of what he has shown in this back-to-back in particular. 41 minutes he put in after clocking, what, 39 minutes against the Knicks the night before. 41 minutes last night, and then 39 minutes, or Saturday night, I should say.
The whole weekend's a blur.
Yeah, exactly. 39 minutes on Friday. Think about that. He did that back-to-back. That is big time right there from Mikal.
Yeah. And, you know, if Mikal Bridges was your best player, okay, then you wouldn't be this good. But he's a really good player, and you just ask him to not even, like, I don't even know that you rank him with, you know, Booker's your best player.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, okay, you need this from Devin or DeAndre Ayton. But you've got Mikal Bridges. On any given night, he can be your best player. On any given night, he's fine being your fourth best player. But that's only because everybody else is playing better. Like, he's just, he does so many different things, but he's reliable. You know what I mean? And to have him as like your fourth option, it's almost unfair, except Suns fans waited a long time for this, so it's just about the right amount of
fair. The pieces fit, don't they?
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, the Cardinals have the NFC West in their control, especially after what happened yesterday. Is every week playoff mode now going forward? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Wolf and Luke.
Well, here we go, Wolf. There are six games left in the regular season. No more bye weeks for the Cardinals unless they hold on to the top spot in the NFC. Then they'll get one in the first round of the playoffs. But as we sit here on November 29th, this is now, it's now game week, right? You're coming out of the bye week. You're getting ready for the Chicago game. So this is the stretch run, playoffs, everything. It starts really this week.
Truly is an opportunity right now for the Arizona Cardinals when you stop and think about what's before them, the six games that they have before them right now. This is, I think, the bye. It couldn't have come at a better time. We were talking about this last week. They're ready to go. And supposedly, from what I've been told, there is a vibe inside this locker room right now that is really, really good and really, really strong. That is a good way to go right now. When you think of the leadership that's inside that locker room, when you think of the talent that is inside that locker room, and the opportunity of going on the road, coming out of a bye, and playing a team that is struggling. For me right now, I consider that to be an opportunity, even though research will show you that good teams benefit from bye weeks, especially late in a season.
You had those numbers last week. I mean, it just amplifies what you are. If you're a bad team,
yes,
you tend to come out of the bye week and lose. If you're a good team, you tend to come out of it and win. And I like what you're saying, because I think we've seen it where they have that just sort of, it doesn't really matter what's going on around them. They're going to take care of what's in front of them. And right now that's just Chicago on Sunday.
Yeah.
I cannot help, though, Wolf, but look at the team that is behind them. The LA Rams have not won a game since October. They're going to go 0 for November. They had a bye week in there. But they got fairly handled yesterday by Green Bay. It's a good team. I get that. The Rams are one game up on the 49ers.
Here's the thing that the Rams, when you bring up the Rams, they got handled. And they got handled on both sides of the ball. They got handled because Matthew Stafford was not able to actually bring them back. In the fourth quarter, it was like, okay, here we go. This is it right here. Matthew Stafford, take the game over in the fourth quarter. The second half offense of the Los Angeles Rams was, frankly, bad. Awful. Just bad. They did not play well in that second half. And I would say, in particular, that fourth quarter, I was waiting for Stafford to make that move. It never happened. What he did is through his third pick six in three games.
That seems like a problem. if I'm the Rams. He's thrown 5 interceptions and 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games. He's been sacked 9 times in those 3 games.
Yes.
I'm not sitting here saying, oh, the Rams are broken. They're not a good team. They, you know, they're still 7-4, but they have lost 3 in a row. And it comes back to what you've been saying about, you know, a potential concern with Stafford. He doesn't look like somebody right now that can lead his team back against the truly best teams in the league. Like, you can look, if you're a Rams fan, and say, well, they were playing Green Bay. Well, who do you think they're going to be playing in the playoffs?
Yes.
They're going to be playing Green Bay and Arizona, and I understand they beat Tampa earlier this season. Look, I thought it was going to be Rams-Bills in the Super Bowl at the start of the year, and neither one of those teams looks all that impressive. The Bills look better on Thanksgiving night. But the Rams have lost 3 in a row. If you're a Rams fan, you're like, oh, it'll be fine. Are you not right. watching? You're going to get caught right. by San Francisco, who, by the way, owns you.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You know, now you're – those are fighting words right there now. But you're right on the money. You're absolutely correct. But it wasn't just Matthew Stafford, Mason Owens. When you talk about the Los Angeles Rams and the disappointment of the Los Angeles Rams and the way they feel being 7-4 right now, you have to start for me in the Wolfley compound as I'm walking around mumbling in the morning. Mumbling to myself, we start with a Rams defense.
It doesn't make any sense.
That was where the strength of this team was. They were lights out last year. I mean, they were the metaphorical death. It was ridiculous. You tried to move the ball against the Los Angeles Rams defense, and you were abandoned all hope, ye who enter here. They were Dante's Inferno, metaphorically speaking, and yet they're a shell of themselves. Now listen, I realize they played the Packers, and I know the Packers, they're a good team. They have Aaron Rodgers, Ron Wolfley reporting. They have a good offense as well, but still, just watching the Rams play defense, something's not right. And I think immediately of Brandon Staley, their defensive coordinator, that now is the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers,
yeah.
Of course. Brandon Staley, change at the top, defensive coordinator. Man, maybe he had a lot more to do with their success than I give him credit for.
It certainly seems like he did. And, you know, the Rams are 7-4. They're still going to be a playoff team. They're not a team that, you know, whoever gets them in the first round is probably going to be looking across the field like, how did we get the Rams in the first round of the playoffs? You know, if you're Tampa, you're going to be like, we're playing the Rams in the first round. They're certainly dangerous. They certainly could still go to and win the
yes.
Super Bowl. But Matthew Stafford specifically and the defense, two areas where, you know, coming into the season, my thought with them was they've got this defense, that their baseline is they're just not going to get many points. And now you've added Matthew Stafford. They were already good. They're going to be better, right? And he's an upgrade from Jared Goff. I'm not saying he isn't, but he doesn't look like a guy that's going to win 4 playoff games right now. And, you know, they had that play to Odell Beckham Jr. late in the game. Like, cool. Odell got some stats. That didn't help the Rams at all. The game was already pretty much out of reach at that
point.
How
is that going with OBJ?
Other than that one play, I wouldn't say it's going that great.
How is that going over there? I mean, he's nicked up here. He's nicked up there. He's nicked up everywhere.
You writing a song? Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
I came out of nowhere right there. And yet, I will say this, too. Did anyone notice Rasul Douglas in that game yesterday?
Oh, my. Wreaking havoc on this division.
Wait a minute. This guy was actually playing on this guy was. Of course he was. This guy was on the practice squad, Matt. The practice squad of the Arizona Cardinals. And we all know about the A.J. Green. It was Rasul Douglas. On the last play.
Yeah, we don't need to bring that up again.
Yeah. This guy, holy cow, and I'm not just talking about his pick six. I'm talking about all of it. Watching him play and compete. Good for you, Rasul. And I'll tell you, it makes me happy when I see a young guy that came from nothing, so to speak, in terms of any type of hubbub around him, any type of pop around him. Came from nothing, and all of a sudden Rasul Douglas is out there balling. Love to see that, man. It reinforces the fact, Luke, it's all in the brain. It really is. You've got to have the physical ability to go and compete. You have to, Basinonians. You're not going to be able to take Luke and line him up at corner and tell him to press man.
I assume you're talking about a different Luke.
All right, I'm just saying, you're not going to be able to do that. You have to have X amount of ability, of course. But, man, so much of the success that comes, and never forget this, my young crunk brothers, so much of the success that comes once you've been given the ability to do it, it's all inside your brain, man. Rasul Douglas, grow strong. Watch him develop. I love to see it. This guy is balling out, and it's all in his brain.
I'm not sure I love that analogy, to be honest, the way
what
it started.
Mean?
I don't know. It kind of rubbed me the wrong
corner?
Way. Yeah, about how there's no chance I
would love
corner.
To see you, though, a little bit. You do have some length on your arms. Maybe
decent,
a little press,
decent,
man, a little
decent
jam.
Decent speed, yeah.
It's right in the face.
Yeah. All right, it's official. Herm Edwards is coming back as the head coach of ASU football. How do we feel about that? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Wolf, we buried the lead. ASU won the Territorial Cup. That's the biggest story, right?
It's beautiful right there, man. Honestly, taste it, Tucson.
It's been a rough run for U of A. They are now 1-23 in their last 24.
Man, 11 losses this season. Ron Wolfley reporting.
That game almost got ugly before it started. You had a U of A player shoving an ASU grounds crew member to the ground. That was an interesting way to start the game.
And that's, wow, you want to talk about something I did not see coming.
Yeah, that one's tough to justify. I know both sides are always wrong and everything, but that one's tough to justify. Jaden Daniels, 10 of 14 in the game, just 86 yards, a couple touchdowns. Not like some game that's going to shoot him up draft boards, but they ran the ball. And, you know, as disappointing of a season as it was for ASU, if they win their bowl game, they'll have their most wins that they've ever had in the Herm Edwards era. Right now they're 8-4. If they can get a ninth win, that'll be the high for the time Herm Edwards has been here. And Wolf, it appears Herm Edwards is going to continue to be here, because Chase Lucas after the game told reporters that Ray Anderson told the team Herm's going to be back, and then Herm sort of echoed that as well. So are we getting more of the same next year? Like,
were you shocked to actually hear that?
Shocked might be a little strong, but surprised, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I really wasn't, ladies and gentlemen. I was not. What was amazing is listening to Herm actually say it when he was done afterwards. I like that, the fact that he actually talked about it and said, yeah, I'm going to be the coach. I'm going to be here. I believe you've got that cut, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I've got a few here. Here, we'll start with Herm talking. This is Saturday after the game, talking about Chase Lucas saying that he'll be back.
Chase just told us that Ray Anderson told the team that you were going to be the coach moving forward. I guess, what did that mean to hear that from Ray? And where do you think the future is for this program?
Well, I had no plans of leaving. So I think that was nice of Ray and Dr. Crow, obviously, to both be in there and to show the support of what we're trying to do here. And it's always nice when your players react the way they reacted. You know, you feel like they appreciate and the things that we're trying to accomplish here and the way we do things here. So that was nice of both those men to say that.
I would say a couple things on this. One, as frustrating as this season got, I don't feel like it's because the players quit on Herm. I never felt like it was that. They just didn't seem, you know, early in the season, it would seem like a lack of discipline, because they would take just ridiculous personal foul or unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on a third down if they made a stop.
Were atrocious.
Later in the season, it just became, hey, we don't know how to line up pre-snap. We're going to take falls. That to me isn't quitting on the coach. That is just, I don't even know what that is, to be honest. But the second thing is, most of these guys are going to be back next year anyway, because a lot of them are seniors. And then the third thing, Wolf, and this is the other side of the Lincoln Riley story, like we talked about it from the Cardinals' perspective, he's coming to USC. I had a long conversation actually on Saturday at the Coyotes game with a friend of mine who covered college sports for a while. And we're like, why can't USC get a coach and just, they should be dominating this conference.
Yeah.
This conference is down. And then sure enough, yesterday they went out and got him. That window that's been open for ASU or whoever wants to step through in the Pac-12, especially the South for the last few years, is closing.
You know, I thought it was interesting, though, that Ray Anderson and Dr. Crow, of course, why would they tell the team, after a disappointing 8-4, why would they tell that team that Herm Edwards is definitely going to be the coach next year? I think the better question, Basinonians, is why wouldn't they ask him back at this point? Why wouldn't they first of all, and this is just me, and I don't mean to offend anybody. I really don't. West Virginia, ladies and gentlemen, West by God, Virginia, my alma mater, they're always going to be fighting to get into the top 20. They're going to be one of those schools that always is fighting to get into the top 20. Guess what? ASU is exactly the same way. ASU, this is ASU. It's not Alabama. It's ASU. This was a territorial cup. Did you happen to notice the crowd, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I was there for the first half.
Yeah, right. There you. Well, there you go, right there. Then you noticed it.
They let me in.
Yeah, of course. This is ASU. They're 8-4 with a possibility of going 9-4 in a bowl game. That's right about where this team ought to be for the most part. I know there are a lot of people out there that think, oh, the sleeping giant. The sleeping giant in the desert. I'm sorry. I don't see it that way. And that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't have fired Todd Graham to begin with. Now, listen, again, the Herm Edwards hire, I was totally on board for that. Totally. But, you know, again, I thought Todd Graham deserved the right after a couple of double-digit win seasons, deserved the right to dig his way out of what he was in. And he didn't get that opportunity. So when you consider the fact that this is ASU first, and then couple that with the likelihood of the football program suffering some kind of ruling coming down in 2022, the better question is, why wouldn't you bring him back? You would bring him back. You don't want to start off some other coach's tenure or regime in a year in which you're going to get disciplined. He's going to have to deal with that.
Let Herm deal with it, basically.
Let Herm deal with it.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I think what's tough for ASU fans is you were promised top 15 every year by your athletic director when Herm got hired. Now, you know, whatever. You're supposed to have confidence as a program. I get that. But I think what's tough for ASU fans is you don't look at this and say, okay, well, this should be Alabama. I don't think anybody looks at it and thinks that. And even the sleeping giant in the desert thing, like if you're sleeping constantly, if you're sleeping for 25 years at a time, then that, okay, then you're sleeping too much. But I think what's tough is the opportunity has been there. USC, I still don't understand how they allowed themselves to become so average for the last decade or so. So the opportunity was there for somebody to rule the South for the last at least 4 or 5 years, and ASU, to me, on paper, either ASU or UCLA should have been the one to step up and do it. It should be easy to recruit to LA, first of all, and then secondly, here. And so even back when USC was getting all the players, if you're ASU or UCLA, you should be able to say, hey, we're the Bruins, we're still in LA, and there's plenty of talent in Southern California. Or, hey, come to Phoenix. Everybody else from California is coming to Phoenix. Why can't you? So now that USC is going to get good, and they are with Lincoln Riley, he's already got the built-in, hey, I'm just good. Mm-hmm. You want to stay in Oklahoma, or you want to live in Norman, Oklahoma, or you want to come play in L.A.? And pretty much everywhere around the West Coast, you're going to be able to do that as Lincoln Riley. They're going to be good. ASU missed an opportunity, and it was ASU's opportunity, I feel like, more than anybody else's.
Man, I would love to see Herm Edwards get that opportunity to clean it up next year, and he is going to get that opportunity. They are going to bring him back. We know this, obviously, based on the cut you just played right here. I was shocked when I heard the news come down, but then I thought about it, and it didn't surprise me at all when I actually thought about the circumstances. And I'll tell you this right now, based on needs, I believe the kids inside that locker room love Herm Edwards. I believe that. But at some point in time, you also have to fear your head coach. I cannot tell you, I love Don Nalen. I absolutely loved Don Nalen. Don Nalen was the best football coach in the history of college football coaches, according to me. And it's my perspective. Don was so tough, yet he loved his kids and let you know that he loved you. He would find a way to bring you and take you aside and look you in the eye and be a father. And I know this because I had lost my father. Going into my sophomore season, I had lost my dad. And suddenly there was Daddy Don. That's what we call him in the Wolfley family, as a matter of fact. Daddy Don. Craig knows him well. Younger brother Dale actually was coached by him, of course. Daddy Don, a surrogate father. And like any father, he had discipline, and he brought that discipline. I wonder, I wonder if, in fact, Herm brings that fatherly discipline as well, because ultimately you want to love your coach and respect your coach. There's no doubt about it. But at some point in time, you also got to fear him just a little bit.
You know what we did? We gave them two, and then we physically abused their butts the second. Fantastic. I mean to tell you, hey, we made a couple errors. But you know what, man? When we decide we're going to do it, I want the door closed. When we decide we're going to do it, we're the best football team in the country. I mean that because our guys continually just do the thing, the formula. We never look up and keep pounding and pounding, and they'll come our way, man. That's just a fantastic job. Dynamite. I'm telling you, I'm so damn proud of you guys. Team, I hugged everyone.
Team Kendrick.
Oh, Maloney.
I don't know how she found the Don Nalen cut that quickly.
Where's the Kleenex? Seriously. Don used to get up in front of us, and I'll tell you what about that Joe Pa. He had this crooked finger, and he'd point with his crooked finger, and he'd say, I'll go out there, and I'll kick Joe Pa's butt. And he'd be feigning these punches into the air. We lost our minds. We lost our minds. It was one of the things I was sure Basin Onions, Herm Edwards, was going to be great at. Recruiting, that was number one. Number two, focusing these young 17, 18, 19-year-old brains, getting them all focused. And that's why last year was disappointing. This year, I should say, was disappointing. It was because I saw an unfocused team. Undisciplined team. And I never expected that. Not with Herm as the head coach. Now, again, am I glad they're bringing him back? Yeah, I am. Give him the opportunity to clean it up.
Well, 8-4 would not be disappointing, but they beat themselves in three of those games.
Yes.
Maybe all four. And that's the part that's tough, because if you are a Sun Devil fan right now, you're like, okay, but then what is the plan big picture? You're just bringing Herm back for one more year. Like, what's going on? And you're looking over in L.A. and you're saying USC just got one of the hottest commodities that a coach is in college football, that NFL teams were looking at, that the Cowboys were rumored to be looking at last time they hired a coach in Lincoln Riley. And now he's going to USC, and if you're ASU, you're like, is this the ceiling at 8-4? I mean, now, as great as Herm is at recruiting, their recruiting class for next year is nothing right now, because there's so much uncertainty around this team. So that's I don't know. I guess it's very open-ended.
I smell George Kliavkov all over this thing. I wonder if he picked up the phone and said, what are you doing? You're USC. We ought to be talked about in the playoff, the college football playoff, year after year after year. You're USC. What are you doing? You need to hire Lincoln Riley. That's what you need to do. Man, I could. Could you see the commissioner of the Pac-12 doing that? I could.
I could see this commissioner. I don't know about the last commissioner.
No.
Coming up, one. Week 12 of the NFL is almost complete, so it is time to overreact. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.